Thank you, Bruce.
So I'm going to tell you about some work I've been doing at University of Indonesia, and following the meta-analyses that Bruce was just describing, our study is undoubtedly underpowered, but it has the advantages that as an independent study, it's allowed us to sort of follow our noses and dig in a little bit and to find some interesting associations, which will indeed need verification. So this is what is now known to us as the Jack Kendu family. It's the study called, the name stands for Jakarta, CMV, Cardiovascular, Antiretroviral, Neuropathy, Dentistry and Ophthalmology, each of those clinical disciplines being represented by one of the clinician PhD students, and most have now graduated their PhDs, and we're still going. We've been working together now since 2011. So question one, and this feeds, I could see that in answering Jenny's question, Bruce knew knew that this is where my interests lie. Why CMV? It's a herpes virus with a big DNA genome. It replicates in fibroblasts and endothelial cells, basically not in blood. It becomes latent and persists for a very long time. And the remarkable thing is how little virus there is for the effect it has on the immune system. In this picture here, there's one infected cell somewhere in the middle and a whole lot of inflammation. And part of that inflammation is driven by the fact that CMV, through evolution, has picked up a whole lot of people genes, including US28, which is a chemokine receptor, and it works as a chemokine receptor. So it causes inflammation, which will last for a very long time. CMV alters the immune system. If you just do flow cytometry on blood, you can find novel populations of gamma delta T cells and NK cells, populations which simply aren't there in people who are CMV seronegative. And these are populations that have the capacity to either control the virus or to cause tissue damage. We've developed a model, a way of thinking of CMV that we call the footprint of the virus. And the issue of how to assess the effect of CMV comes down to two things. Do you measure the virus itself? Well, it replicates in odd bursts, so you can find it or you can miss it in a fairly random way. Or you can measure the specific immune responses to the virus, CMV-specific T cells and antibody, or you can measure the immunological footprint, and then you can look at the clinical footprints. In this work, I'm acknowledging my collaborator, Sylvia Lee, or when it comes to the laboratory work that we do, all roads lead to Sylvia. So there are fairly firm links in the general population between CMV and cardiovascular disease. Each of these dot points represents a published study, and they have been recently put together into a meta-analysis. So we're pretty sure that CMV affects cardiovascular disease. You can see it both in atherosclerosis, where the data that Anthony gave us about the initiation of a plaque, the very first inflammatory event may be the replication of CMV in the endothelium. And all of the things that Anthony talked about in terms of the macrophages may be consequent to that. Of course, a corollary of that is that there isn't very much virus, and you can very easily miss it. So, does the high burden of CMV affect cardiovascular disease in HIV patients? And here we're coming back to Jack Kendu. Jack Kendu was run by identifying patients from the clinic database who were beginning out with less than 200 CD4 T cells. So at the time when the survey was done in 2012, there was 584 patients surveyed, and this is the breakdown. We were thinking that we were going to look at CMV retinitis, hence the less than 200. It turned out that there was no retinitis in this cohort. But you do notice that we had a small loss to follow-up, not massive, but there were some. And in some cases, that's because patients died. So CMV antibodies in these patients. We have in-house ELISAs for CMV, run by my colleague Ibnu, who presented the data earlier today. Ibnu, when he runs these ELISAs, starts by diluting the sample 1 in 10,000, which is something that you have to do carefully. So this is a lot of antibody. We set the standard based on our samples in Perth to be 1,000 units is a seropositive person, such as myself. And you can see that here, we've got like 100 and 1,000 times that much antibody in these patients. That's a lot. In other words, when we compare within the cohort the amounts of CMV, we're comparing the different effect of a lot of CMV from a humongous amount of CMV. It's not with a moderate amount to nothing. It's up in the top scale. So this particular piece of work, I'm expecting a comment from Bruce on this. Ruwanti is a neurologist, and she assessed neurocognitive capacity across the Jack Kendu patients using 5 cognitive domains. This is the total Z score, but the results were, if anything, a little clearer with memory. And she showed that patients started with a deficit and that this recovered over the first year on ART. We were encouraged by the journal to do linear mixed models, which is not a statistical tool that I warm to, but it showed that the improvements of Z-scores were influenced by age, education, and CD4 T-cell counts. Can we use antibody to measure the contribution of CMV to this? And this note just repeats what I've just said. We have a very high burden of CMV here. And the levels rise and fall on ART quite a lot. So if we're using antibody to measure the burden of CMV, antibody when? And one could argue that patients don't get more CMV just because they've been on ART for a while. And the corollary of that is that the level of antibody when they started underestimated their burden because they couldn't make antibody. And indeed, that's held up. Now, these are Spearman's row scores. I've bolded the ones that were significant. They're not big values, but we have a consistent pattern that it's the antibodies at 6 months and 12 months that correlate with the baseline Z score. It's not the antibodies at the same level. It's not a strong piece of data. You notice it's a negative because the more antibody, the lower the mental capacity. So it is the right way around. To find the effect of CMV using antibody, you've got to think about when and whether the person could make antibody. Cardiovascular assessments were done over the first year, and this came up in one of the talks yesterday, that when you talk about BMI, you've got to decide on where people start, and these people started out a bit thin. So their BMIs increase, but they don't go to a range where you would feel that that's dangerous. CIMTs increase at 12 months. And that was true in the right or left side. We then looked at the role of CMV in the increase in CIMT. Oh, sorry, I've got this one first. I'm out of order. EA ratio is echocardiograph. It's about the filling I'm sorry, I'm not a cardiologist, the filling of the ventricles of the heart. It was completely constant over time, but the levels were lower in patients who had CMV DNA at baseline. That was the only correlate we had with CMV DNA specifically. And I read around this in all possible directions, and the speculation that in that context it could be CMV myocarditis. That's actually a direct effect on the heart for the people who were replicating CMV at a reasonably high level at that time. That's only a theory, certainly didn't do anything to prove that that's what the CMV was, but it was an effect that was clear at baseline. A shadow of it was there at 3 months and then it disappeared. So trying to look at CMV using antibody, what we found was that we had some positive correlations between CIMT and the right side CIMT and CMV antibody levels. The general principle that we were seeing the effect with CMV antibody on ART and not before it is the same, and this is the bit of data I showed you earlier with Z-scores. Again, it's this 6 and 12 month antibodies that show the interesting results. Why right and not left CIMT? And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that's a bit dodgy. But I got into the literature, and in fact, there is quite reasonable literature suggesting that the formation of plaques in the right and left carotid artery is actually quite different in its mechanism. And I've just summarized that there. I'll just let you run your eyes through it. So we have an effect on the right CIMT and not the left. There may be something in that that can be followed up mechanistically, and I think it's an interesting observation. It's been published in our paper in 2018. So we did a five-year review and assessed a whole range of biomarkers, the CMV burden, vascular health, and periodontal health. We've also got some data coming through on cardiac function, neurocognitive health, and the retinal arteries, which I'm not presenting today. But that's all still being analysed. So this is the team. Endar is an oral health specialist. For her PhD, she did a nice piece of work looking at oral candidiasis, which she showed was very common at baseline and 3 months, and she linked it with low levels of Candida-specific IgA. So I'm not presenting that data, but that was the background of her work. We also had our cardiologists, Biri and Ika, and I introduced them to a lady who'd just graduated from Curtin in public health and knows how to do multivariable analyses. So Salita is our statistician for this. So this is the cohort. Not everybody came back. We originally had 80 people, and we got 32 back. The low return related largely to some changes in the Indonesian health system, which sent people to their local hospitals rather than to Cipto Mangunkusumo, which is in the center of town. We recruited at this time an extra matched group of 32 controls, and you can see they're perfectly matched by age and gender because that was done by design. Our Endar recorded their oral health, and that will come into the analyses later. She's got periodontitis, and note that she's finding it both in the controls and in the patients. It's going up a little bit in the patients. When we go back here to the V0 and V3, that's baseline and 3 months, we're looking at the same people. So we took them as a subset of the earlier database. Candidiasis, which she found early on, has disappeared by this time, and CD4 counts have recovered quite nicely. Periodontitis is the important bit here. So, looking at the CIMT data, this is just sort of quality control. It's similar in right and left. That is the second of the two graphs, and it's pretty well constant over time. Note I earlier showed an increase at 12 months in the entire Jack Kandu cohort. We don't have 12-month data here because Endar only did her PhD with 0 and 3 months. So this is 0, 3, and 60. Now this is the interesting bit. We have an increase in CIMT at V60, that's 5 years, in the patients who have periodontitis, and that's shown in blue. And it's a nice clear effect of periodontitis associating with CIMT. What's more, if considering just the people who had periodontitis and then comparing patients at V60 with controls, there is also a significant difference. Salita then did a multivariable analysis to predict right and left CIMT, and the first panel over this side shows she's got an R squared of 36.36, that means she's explaining 36% of risk, and that's based on periodontitis, age, and gender. Left, pretty well the same. Here she's explaining 39% of risk. If she added CMV antibody levels in, they are themselves not a very dramatic effect, but we have slightly better R-squared values. Until the time we've got to here, we actually have a pretty good model based age, gender, periodontal disease, and CMV antibody. And that's it. We have a summary. Periodontitis was present in 16 of 32 patients after 5 years, potentiated by greater age and poor oral hygiene. It was not associated with smoking, TB, candidiasis, or low CD4. After 5 years on ART, the right and left CIMT were greater in HIV patients who had periodontitis. All HIV patients had a very high burden of CMV, evident by the detection of CMV DNA in 50% of the patients and very high antibody titers. Bivariate analyses showed correlations between CMV antibody levels on ART and neurocognitive function, right CIMT, which I've shown you now, but also with the retinal blood vessels in the right eye. And actually that does, if you look at the anatomy of the blood vessels, it does go, it stays true one side or the other. And CMV antibody levels were retained in linear regression models, which identified periodontal disease as a determinant of CIMT after 5 years. So that's us. The Jack Kandu team, Salita, and back in the labs in Perth, Sylvia Lee and Shelley Waters. Given that we've identified these interesting effects of CMV, Shelley is now taking the virus apart and sequencing different genes in it to look at the question of whether there's good CMV and bad CMV. Indeed, if there's anyone who's interested in a collaboration with this, the samples are all there, and we're certainly eager to get involved with other people's skills. As this is an independent project, we can opt to do further collaborations. Thank you.